Bless the space between us and the space we share, and the thoughts and the feelings and the words that we share. In your name, amen. Good morning. I'm glad you're here with us on this 4th of July weekend, taking a little time to listen for God and to rest in this community, even in a digital community. You can never really take these sorts of moments for granted. This morning, we're going to continue to explore the gospel alongside our guide, Matthew, who is very particular about the structure of his written message. And he has puzzle pieced this story together in such a way that removing one story from its place would be like randomly throwing aside one of the pieces from the tabletop puzzle, or maybe just selecting one square of a Sunday morning comic to try and explain the entire page of comic strips. It's just not quite whole enough for that. Because Matthew is trying to retell a monumental story of good news about the actions that Jesus performed and the words he proclaimed. And Matthew really wants to show how those actions connect to each other. That what Jesus says and does over here really does matter to what Jesus says and does over here. That what prophets declared and the creation tales in Genesis assumed and those epics of our matriarchs and patriarchs before us taught, that they're all fulfilled in Jesus. That the good news matters to everyone's life in the here and the now and in the huge salvation sense. So let's listen for those connections in the stories around our passage this morning. Before our 10 verses that we will soon read, Jesus has just commissioned 12 disciples to do the work of the gospel, to spread the good news that all are loved and seen by a God that comes to them as their lives are right now, not how their lives should be, and that they will cast out unclean spirits in the process and heal the broken. And these newly minted disciples are told how challenging this will be, how silly they will often look in front of their friends, how attacked they may feel in front of crowds, how unwelcome they will be in new towns as they spread what to them is good and glorious news. It will be hard to resist a religious and political structure determined to devalue human life. Very hard. But the disciples are called to this work, and it's a powerful and pretty intimidating depiction of discipleship. And Matthew stays on top of this discomfort as he shifts his story from those 12 disciples to John the Baptist, the great messenger, in prison, beginning to doubt that Jesus is the Messiah. Even the greatest herald of Jesus' good news can't decide if Jesus really is the one. And Jesus responds with simple truths and examples that, yes, John, look at what we've done. The hurt are healed. The marginalized are brought in. The lesser are made more. And then we come to this morning's passage. The middle of one of Jesus' teaching moments, proclaiming to the crowd that you don't have to be a mighty John the Baptist to proclaim and spread the good news. Listen now for the word of God from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19 and 25 to 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." And at that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one except No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Immediately following this passage, Jesus breaks religious rules by plucking and eating grain on the Sabbath, and then healing a man's hand on the Sabbath. And both times the temple authorities scream that he is breaking Sabbath rules. And both times Jesus casts judgment on their rules. These rules are not the true spirit of God. These rules are borders and boundaries and distractions. And Matthew puzzle pieces it together for us. He authors a comic strip full of action with the whams and the pows and the bams all put in exactly the right spot. Jesus commissions disciples, warns them that the work will be personally challenging. Even John, the most prepared messenger, will stumble and struggle to see this good news that values the deepest part of every person. And those closest to the religious system will have the hardest time seeing and hearing the good news. It will challenge their standard of right and wrong the most. And that's okay, says Jesus. You don't need power or control or education or money to be loved. Sometimes you don't even need to follow the rules or do the socially acceptable thing. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I may be biased because of the age demographic that I'm in, as well as the age demographic I enjoy ministering to, but this passage to me can be a beacon for young people. In a recent session meeting, the topic of youth and young adult participation in the life of the church came up, and there was much discussion, and at some point the comment was made that youth enjoy challenging authority, and they enjoy holding people accountable to their actions, and that the gospel is perfect for that, and to that I wholly agree. The gospel is perfect for that. And these sections of Matthew are a spot-on example. Jesus brings rest to the weary, hope to the fallen, and voice to those who are rarely heard from. Our systems of power and their rules cannot get in the way of that good news. We are called, no matter our age, to spread that good news. But Jesus does remind us of what he said to his 12 disciples tasked with bringing new hope, that you will not be well received, you will not be supported by human institutions, you will be persecuted, and don't take it personally. The current authority may not want you, but God always wants you. Why challenge authority at all? Why does Matthew build all of this tension in a story, mentioning all the ways that fights and divisions will break out, and there will be failures to hear and failures to understand, and examples of Jesus challenging the status quo, breaking clear religious rules, reminding his followers of the persecution that lies ahead? I think this story is meant to remind us that these are the hard, daily pieces of living in community. Because right now the world is heavy. The pandemic is heavy. The search for appropriate health care is heavy. The need for consistent food and housing and education is heavy. The need to open a dialogue about race is so heavy. Isolation is heavy. We are under pressure, and Matthew spins a frightening and a bit complicated tale of community discord and righteous resistance, because that is what people do when the world is heavy. They cry out for rest. Rest. In all of this division, Jesus proclaims, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Rest. And the Message translation says it a little differently, beginning with, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Rest. We spread the good news. We cry out to value human life. We push on all the weighty rules and pressures because there is another way. A way to learn the unforced rhythm of grace. And maybe you've had the experience, probably in a pre-pandemic time, of turning down a big party or some large event in favor of a nap. I've done it plenty of times. I'm way too tired to have fun at that party or on that date or with my friends or with my family. I need to rest first. Then maybe I'll go. And maybe you've had that same feeling, but decided to go out and see folks or go to that party or go on that date, and to your surprise, the experience of relationship and connection energizes you, refreshes you, rests within you. You may still be physically tired, but you are spiritually recharged by your community. I think it's the second type of rest that Jesus invites us to in our most divisive and hard and weighty times. To not be beaten down, to not lose hope, to not need a nap first, because it's all just a little too much. Instead, we must go toward one another with a sense of the deep worth of relationship and justice in community. Genuine rest is active. It sits alongside the Hebrew concept of peace as shalom. Shalom is not a lack of violence and discord, but an active community of interaction based on love and the inherent worth of each one of us. This rest that Jesus turns to, the rest that is light and unforced and simple to understand, is an active love. So let me leave you with some love poetry. What better way to rekindle hope and rest that lies in the beauty of another than with our passage from the Song of Solomon? "The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land, the fig tree puts forth its figs, the vines are in blossom." This love is free, it's unfettered, it is deep in its longing and sharp in its call for the company of another. It reminds all of us of the beauty at the heart of wanting to be with another, of wanting to see another fulfilled, of wanting separations to fall down and unity to come. This is a deep desire to rest in one another. And it's the 4th of July weekend, and we all will not recognize this yesterday in the same way. The months leading up to this moment have been weighty, and the air is certainly still thick. We don't agree on how to move forward or what voices are going to be heard. Matthew shows us that Jesus recognizes this sort of moment. And he invites us to an active rest, a rest that falls headlong into love, a rest that grows from the simplest, most basic worth in each and every one of us. May we listen for this love and follow it and try it out. Amen.